Welcome. I'm Danielle Sally.
And I'm Eva Fusaw.
And you're listening to Ghost Boss, stories about the freelance afterlife. Hey, ghosties.
Hey.
She didn't laugh. We're making progress.
We're doing great.
I laughed a lot earlier. Y'all gonna see it if you haven't seen it already.
Yeah.
I don't know how the social stuff works. It's Danielle's thing.
It's hilarious because anyone that's worked with me before knows I do not like dealing with social.
We did a whole episode on it.
Listen, we're just making it happen.
I love our clips.
All right. Hey, Eva.
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Have I never said what's up to you?
No, I don't think you have.
Oh, really?
Not with that. Like, you were affirmative. What is up?
I didn't enunciate that hard.
I love it.
All right.
Hi. So today is a fun topic.
Oh, God.
We're talking about money.
Money, 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 money.
We're wanting to dive into how do you get paid?
Get that bag.
And the answers are
all over the place.
All over the place.
I was once paid in tacos.
And we're going to dive into that.
Yeah. Yep. I was once paid in tacos.
But so we get this question a lot, though, because especially people who are not in the freelance world yet, mm-hmm. but they are considering going into the freelance world because they ask, you know, do you charge hourly? Yep. Do you have different rates?
Yep.
Do you do a retainer?
Yes.
Do you do flat rate?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes to all of that.
Yes to all of the above.
And yeah.
So let's just dive right in.
Yes. Dive right into that money bag.
Let's do it.
So do we want to talk about how we actually charge now? Like, because I don't work for tacos anymore.
Well, and I had one mindset going into it, and I'd say I've been a lot more flexible since I've started.
Yeah. So I actually talk a little bit about this when I go speak with students.
Yeah.
So you want me to kind of start
I
have like a little spiel about it.
Yeah.
So I do a mix of retainer, hourly, and flat rate.
Yeah. Same.
Right now, my percentage is probably 40% retainer, 40% flat, or 40% hourly.
Yeah.
And then 20% flat rate.
Okay.
That varies a little bit. I've gotten some more retainer work recently.
Yeah.
But that's kind of, and that is by income, not necessarily by hours.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
So that's like how my income comes in. My rates have a range. And it all kind of,
and
there's some factors that go into it.
Your rates, do you determine it based on the type of client or do you determine them based on what you're doing?
So first off, pricing is a conversation. It's just a conversation and I have a base rate, like kind of a range and there's just a lot of stuff that goes into it. I do not have a rate sheet. People ask me all the time for a rate sheet. It does not exist.
I don't either.
Tell me what you need and I will provide you with a rate. Because it has to do with several factors. And here's some of the factors. These are not the only factors, but
right.
some of the factors. What type of work is it? So branding work costs more.
Yes.
Because the shelf life is longer.
It should always cost more.
Branding work costs more.
In my opinion.
It also is a much heavier lift. I think people think logos are, people outside of what we do.
Yes.
I think logos are easier because logos thrive in simplicity, but simplicity is hard to achieve.
Yeah.
Simple does not mean easy.
No.
Or simple and effective certainly doesn't mean easy.
Oh, yeah.
Collateral stuff tends to fall on the lower end because the shelf life is probably pretty low.
Right.
Digital web work falls somewhere in the middle. I have a heart. Social is like, it's a mixed bag. I prefer for social to be like ongoing or part of a larger project because it is hard to price social standalone because of like how quickly the cycle is.
Well, it would depend too on like what are their goals with social,
well,
right? I mean, then how many followers they have, like what's the engagement look like? I mean, social is a whole mixed bag.
it's hard to price social in a way that makes sense. If you're asking me to make two graphics.
Oh,
do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because then like the amount of if it's a longer, it really has to be a longer runway than that for me to make it make sense for the amount of like research and understanding I need to do with your brand and your audience. Unless you know what you want, and you're just hiring me for production work.
Right.
In which case I have a rate for that. So like that's another thing. I have a rate for production work. If you're just telling me what to do or I'm just resizing a bunch of stuff for you, or that is a whole other thing.
Sure.
So part of it is the type of work, timeline. I charge rush fees.
Listen, if it's...
I'm transparent about it, but yeah. if it's a crazy timeline...
If it's fast, whew.
Yeah.
because I'm going to have to put other work to the side.
Or I'm going to have to work later.
Yeah, so to make sure I get it done.
I am, on more than one occasion, I've been asked for 3 logo concepts due in 3 to 4 days.
Yeah.
And I've done them for a higher rate. I love to tell people about the... I'm not going to go into a ton of detail on this, but about a project that I got a call on a Tuesday that they needed this design project turned around by the following Monday at 6 a.m. So I was like, you need it Sunday then.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Is the copy ready?
No.
We're aiming to have the copy ready at midnight on Friday.
Oh, it's so like, oh, I can't.
Right.
So frustrating.
And it was, and like, I was like, this is going to be, and they're like, it's fine. This is what we need. It is fine. And so so timeline has something to do with it. It also is a little bit about like, is it a one-off thing? Are we starting a relationship?
Yeah.
Is it retainer work? And relationship doesn't mean like you will get X amount of work every month.
Yeah.
But it is like, hey, can we get you in place so that we know like you're going to have some stuff in the future?
Yeah.
All of that factors in.
Sure.
I do a little bit of a discount for retainer work. Mm-hmm. I come down a little bit on my hourly rate. And then sometimes people have me, like when I talk to them, I talk about pricing and I'm like, so I can price it to you hourly.
Yeah.
Or I can price it to you flat rate.
Yes.
And then I show them, I was like, with hourly, I give you a range. So you might end, you're going to end up somewhere in this range where you can flat rate it. And like, so I just let them decide what makes more sense for their budget.
That's usually how my conversations start. Cause they're always like, well, how do you like working? Mm-hmm. And I will go through the 3 things that I prefer, which are retainer, hourly, or flat rate.
Yeah.
My personal preference is depending on the project, branding, websites, things like that. I prefer to do a flat rate.
I do those flat rate because I don't understand. There's no other way for it to make sense, in my opinion.
Right. And so that's my preference there. But I usually leave it up to the client. Now, I have some clients that I'm truly their team member and I'm diving in when I need to dive in. Mm-hmm. And so I let them decide, does a retainer make more sense to you? Like, do you think you're consistently going to give me 10 hours a month that you're going to need my services?
Yeah.
If that's the case, let's do retainer. I work with a lot of agencies. Agencies, like it's just ebb and flow, right? And so you don't know when you're busy until you're busy.
Yeah.
And I find a lot of agencies prefer to me just doing hourly. And they just go, just do hourly, invoices at the end of the month, just get it done.
Yeah.
Because they know like, they just need
to. They don't have time to approve the whole.
Right. Right. And honestly, sometimes they're willing to kind of do that because it's still not as expensive as having a full-time employee.
Oh, totally. I mean, most of my like hourly clients.
Yeah.
I am either part of their team, essentially. Like I'm involved with them a lot and I'm on all the calls. I'm on all the meetings. Or like, and I tell students this all the time. Like, I'm like, I get calls when something's on fire. Yes. I get calls when they need something in 1 to 2 days.
Yes.
From like existing marketing teams that have designers.
Yeah.
It's just, they need hands
right
now.
It is interesting how I'm kind of noticing with my clients some similarities. So my agency clients, I'm seeing more preferences towards hourly, billing hourly. And then my in-house clients, I'm seeing more leaning towards preference of retainer or something along those lines, because they know they consistently need an extra team member. And then ones where I'm working directly with the clients tend to lean more flat rate. Mm-hmm. So usually I go through all 3 scenarios with every single new potential client that I talk to, and I kind of leave it up to them. But depending on their work and what their needs are, I usually try to lead them in a certain direction. I also like flat rate because there's no surprises at the end, right? Hourly, agencies understand hourly really, really well. Mm-hmm. A client that doesn't necessarily have a designer on staff doesn't necessarily know how long things take. And sometimes hourly shocks them.
So when I prefer hourly over flat rate.
Yeah.
Because it keeps me from having to keep up with like, you only get 3 rounds of edits. I'm like,
right.
We'll keep working till you're ready.
Yeah.
But what I do, unless I have a couple of clients, we just have a relationship.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm on their calls. It's fine.
Yeah.
I just do the work. But most of my hourly clients, when they email me a project, before I start, I email back an hour's range. Sure. So I look at it. I'm this is going to be 4 to 6 hours. It's always a 2 hour in, right?
Yeah.
1 to 3, 4 to 6, whatever. And they have to sign off on that.
Yeah.
And then I notify them if they only have an hour left.
Yeah.
And so
I'm getting kind of spoiled right now.
There's not a surprise for them because we outlined this.
I've got some agency clients right now. They're like, don't give me an estimate. Just get the work done. We need this. And I'm like,
okay,
you're spoiling me. Yeah. I'm having to take the time to put the estimate together and I just invoice you.
Yeah.
You're the ideal client.
Yeah. I mean, cause they just need it done. And that's also,
but it feels, they get it.
It feels good. Cause I have clients, like I said, that I am hourly with, that they don't ask for a range or whatever. And it feels good to know that they trust you and you just have that sort of relationship.
That's the thing, right? It ultimately comes down to that trust. They know you're just going to get the work done.
Yeah.
If they didn't trust me and trust in my ability and my expertise, they would be asking me for estimates on every single project.
And I understand like early on when clients want that.
100%.
Or if they don't work with me a ton, like I don't hear from them for a couple months.
For sure.
That, all of that.
Yeah.
But it's funny because sometimes they'll send me something and they'll be like, you know, send me the range, the hourly range on this. And I'm like, this is going to take me 30 minutes.
Like,
really? And I'm like, yes, I have the assets. It's just resizing it.
Yeah.
That's assuming you've got 2 rounds of edits and you may not.
Yeah.
So mixed bag.
We
do it all.
Very much.
I bill out on the first of the month, typically.
I bill
my hours.
I'm usually either the very last day of the month or the first day of the month.
I aim for the first of the month. This month, the first is today.
Yeah.
I'm very busy. I doubt I will get to my hours today.
Yeah. I did mine yesterday.
Yeah.
I usually try for the very last day of the month. The only exception was February because I just was not prepared because the month takes the days away.
Yeah, I try to do the first. I mean, that's my rule. Like,
yeah,
but it's, you know, I try to get that out.
That's also up to you.
Yeah.
You know, you can decide when you're doing. And then depending on the projects, like those hourly ones I was talking about, they are getting monthly invoices.
They get monthly invoices.
But the flat rate ones, I have
I pull it when I'm done.
Right. I'm set up. I do a deposit up front.
Yep.
And then I'll invoice the remaining balance. You're typically at the end, or if they kind of have a certain fiscal year ending, we might do a balance up front and then balance later.
Yeah.
So it kind of, you know, depends on the client.
I'll
take your money however you want.
Yeah. I do that too. I have sometimes like projects that have drawn really far out when we didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Like I did the initial deposit and if like I thought it was going to be a 3 month project and now it's 9 months, I'll like ask if I was like, if it's not okay, that's fine. But it would be great if we could put more towards the balance because this has gone longer than expected.
I literally sent out, I started adding to my proposals that it might be that. If it's a proposal that I'm like, this could drag out. This could be pretty long.
Yeah.
And because I do the 25-75, I decided I'm actually going to work it in there. If it exceeds X amount of months,
mm-hmm.
then you will be charged for the remaining at that point.
Oh, okay.
That way it's just in writing and there's no surprises.
Yeah.
Because I also, you know, if it drags out for over a year, I don't want to wait a year for a check. Right. So I was just like, I'm going to put it in there. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. Then it's not a good fit.
Yeah.
So,
and they'll tell you, I mean, if y'all don't know, clients will tell you if they don't like what's in your contract.
Right.
They'll kick it back.
That's fine.
Yeah. I've never had pushback too. Like when I've asked, like, it's fine. So I now bill like a grown up.
Yeah.
So I do want to share this story.
I've alluded
to it like a couple of times here and like off microphone,
off the mic,
off pod,
off mic, hot. No, I don't know.
So I bill like a grown up now. Like I do my hours. They like send me a check or they pay like via transfer or whatever. But in my younger years, I used to barter a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't anymore.
No.
Cause it's just, I just don't. I got paid in tacos.
Okay.
To build a website.
What kind of tacos? Where were they from? Taco Bell?
They were from Tio's.
Campus? Over in,
yep.
That's downtown Columbia.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'll go with that.
A professor hired me to build a website. I do not remember what
you did. A whole website for tacos? How many tacos? I want to know. It was matters.
It was a series of like gift cards or gift certificates.
You got there. So many tacos.
Many tacos.
It's not like one dinner of tacos.
No.
Like a taco platter.
No. I ate there more than once.
Okay.
That's great. Fair. And then she hired me to do something else and paid me in like money too.
But yeah,
like,
that's good. You can actually buy your own tacos.
I can buy my own tacos.
Nice.
I used to do a lot of flyers for bands.
Yeah.
And they didn't have any money to pay me.
No. What'd you get? Tickets?
I got into the show for free.
Sure.
And then sometimes bands can drink on the bar tab. Mm-hmm. And so
you get some drinks.
I got a couple drinks.
Sure.
When I was over 21.
Yeah. And it was your younger years.
It was my younger years.
not now.
But it's funny. I went, I don't know. A lot of people should know who Aaron Draplin is. If you don't, like Google
him.
If
you're in this field.
If you're a designer, you know who he is.
The likelihood of you listening to this podcast and not knowing who he is crazy.
Go Google him. Anyways, I saw him speak for the first time at a big conference. It must have been how. I've seen him speak many times. Anyways, he was up there and he's great. And he talks about like, I got paid like so much money, like $100,000 to do this logo. Maybe I'm misquoting that, but like a lot of money.
A lot of money.
And he's like, and I got paid in a burrito to do this logo. And like when he said it, the first time I was like, oh my God, I'm not the only one to get paid in Mexican food.
Relatable.
But yeah, so if you're younger and you're bartering and freelance, like it is a thing.
Yeah, sure.
That I did before.
You might grow out of it. No.
Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, I once got paid in tacos.
I like it.
Yeah.
I swore you one time told me you also got paid in cheese straws. No. I just assume that maybe that's a thing you do. Again, it's a Southern thing. Maybe you just love some cheese straws.
I mean, I do like a cheese straw. I don't love a cheese. I mean, I like them.
They're okay.
They're not great.
Fresh ones are good.
Ugh, they're all right. I've only started eating them the last few years. They're fine. I've never gotten paid in cheese straws.
Okay.
I think the tacos are the only time I've gotten paid in food.
In food? Sure. Gift cards? No.
Yeah.
In general, though, we do prefer just cash.
No, I need cash now, y'all. Like, Mama's putting food on the table with this. Like, this is not like just a little thing on the side.
That's a thing of our past.
What software do you use?
So I use FreshBooks. So I started using FreshBooks 2007. Hmm. It was the accounting software that my first job we used. Mm-hmm. And I've always felt like it was set up really well for our type of work.
Yes, yes.
And it's funny because you told me to use it. And then I've had some other design friends that are also solopreneurs in this space. They use FreshBooks.
Yeah.
And it's just set up really well for what we do.
Well, they partner with Bench.
Yeah.
Which is where I do my bookkeeping.
Yeah.
I like, it's funny because I'll get relationships with clients that are used to, like, I am a handoff from a previous contractor.
Yeah.
And like, this has happened more than once where they're like, yeah, so just keep track of your hours and send us the Excel sheet. I'm like, I'm sorry, the what?
The who?
More than one client has said this to me. They're like, the Excel sheet where you keep up with your hours. I was like, I have an invoicing software where
do I need to send you an Excel sheet?
And they're like, oh, I mean, like, however you do it. But like more than one client has said that to me, which means
wild.
Like, this is like, this
how
is
many people are using Excel sheets? For
right.
This?
I guess it makes,
that seems like so much extra work.
I cannot.
No.
I can't. A pivot table. Stop it.
No,
stop.
I do all my expenses, all my invoicing, all my time tracking. It's all in there.
It does. I don't use its mileage function.
I do because I got to drive the studio every week. No.
I don't track. I'm bad about that. Y'all about to, if anything's like less than 5 miles, I'm bad about tracking it. I just go retroactively do it. It's annoying.
I usually wait till the end of the month to put my mileage in and just do it in one sitting. I'm bad about doing it like actively, but I'll just go back and look at my calendar.
Once a month, I go do it like at the beginning of the tax year.
Ooh,
I go back.
I can't. I can't.
I sit down. I leave my house. I go to like a coffee shop. I buy myself something. I like,
all right.
I like,
it's a treat.
It's a treat.
Mileage is a treat.
I sit there and make myself do my mileage for the last year. I go and look at all my like calendar. Like
wild.
I know.
Wild.
I know. For me, the problem is that it is rare.
Yeah.
That I am just going from here to there. So like, for instance, yesterday I needed to go ship something for a client at FedEx. All right. But between my house and FedEx was two stops I had to make, right?
Okay,
one was in the Vista and then one, I had to go to the bank and then I went to the FedEx on campus. And then after that, I had to go to the grocery store. So like, that's why I don't use it because it makes the most sense in my day.
Yeah.
Because I live downtown. It makes the most sense in my day to line up all my tasks and like all my errands. And my errands can be a mix of client and personal and like work stuff.
That's fair.
And so that's why I don't use it, because there's no way for me to capture like I went from here to there.
I do. My one request to FreshBook is
FreshBooks
is let me put my mileages from my mileage in from my laptop. There's a very millennial thing. Sometimes we just can't do things on our phones.
No, have you seen this?
Yes,
I
have.
Big purchases have to be made on a big screen.
Yes. And mileage needs to be used on a computer.
I'm not booking a flight or buying like I'd buy a festival or concert ticket on my phone, but I ain't booking a flight on my phone.
I have
that is a big screen activity.
Well, I'll search on my phone, but then I'll go over to my computer to make the final purchase.
Yes. So yeah, this was, you know, not the sexiest topic.
Not the sexiest, but you guys want to hear about it.
So. I mean, you know, it's how we bill. So, I like to end with, I don't have questions for him this time.
No question. Well, actually I do. Is there any other form of payment, maybe outside retainer, outside hourly? I don't know. How else would you do it? Something else out there that we have not considered? Does anyone have a really great setup that they would recommend?
Do you have a good way of tracking your mileage that's not annoying?
Yeah, that's not on your phone.
Eva Fusa would like to hear about it.
I would too.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Bye. Remember to follow us on Instagram @GhostBossPodcast. And also please like and review us on your favorite podcast app.